You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
On behalf of the Rabbanim of the other two shuls sponsoring the event, Rabbi Witkin, Rabbi Leibowitz, I want to thank Rabbi Pesach Kron for coming to this very special gathering at the Young Israel of North Woodmere. He's been here before. Thank you to Rabbi Merilis for introducing Rabbi Kron to our show. And the way the calendar, the beginning of the school calendar and Yamim Noraim calendar come together this year, it is especially hard for many of us to feel prepared coming into Yamim Noraim. So I want to give special thanks to the Stern family for sponsoring this event, making sure that we as a community together are properly in the proper state of mind. And it's hard to imagine a person who is in a better position to put us in a Yamim Noraim state of mind than Rabbi Kron. And it is a special honor to welcome you. Thank you.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Chaim Stern. Is he here tonight yet? Well, he'll be here eventually. He'll be here. Okay, I thank him so much for inviting me to come to speak to all of you. It is such a beautiful thing when you come to community and there are representatives of every single shul, the Choshev Rabbanim, Rabbi Septimus, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Witkin, and of course, Billy Marilis, who I know since he's 8 days old. His father and I were classmates in Torah Das for many, many wonderful years. And I'm honored to come to this wonderful shul. And as the Rav mentioned, Rabbi Marilis was the first one to bring me here. I also want to mention that tonight we are speaking literally in front of thousands of people. Wherever I go in this world, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Switzerland, whether it's Australia, or Chile, people are always telling me they see TorahAnytime.com. And any of you who want to hear literally thousands, that's not an exaggeration, thousands of shiurim day and night, except for Shabbos. Although the truth is that in Australia, when it's Shabbos here, you know, they're watching us there because they're 14 hours ahead. But literally, you can get every type of shiur from men, women, Rosh Hashivas, Askonim, Rabbonim. Wonderful things. One of the greatest things that Klal Yisrael today has is TorahAnytime.com. And I thank Yosef Davis and I thank our photographer here tonight as well for making it so that that which we say tonight will really be able to be seen by people literally throughout the world. There's a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk is in Amos Perek Gimel, pasuk Ches. And the pasuk tells us, Aryeh Sho'ob Milo Yira, if a lion roars, wouldn't you be afraid? And Mefarshim explained this very interesting. Imagine you were walking on Branch Boulevard, or you're walking on Woodmere Boulevard, and you hear a lion roaring, everybody would be afraid. So Mefarshim say that the word Aryeh, which is spelled Aleph Reish Yud Hey, stands for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. Right? Isn't that amazing? Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. If these days roar, wouldn't you be afraid? And we are in the midst of these days. And obviously, these are days of trepidation. These are days of introspection. These are days when we begin to think, what happened in the past? What are we going to do in the future? As a matter of fact, the Bava Rebbe once said something tremendous. We know Elul stands for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. But the Bava Rebbe once came up with a very interesting, original thought. He said, you know what Elul stands for? Echad la'oila ve'echad la'chatos. Oila means going up. Chatos is, unfortunately, when somebody has done an Avera. And the Bava Rebbe, in his ingenious way, said, there are two types of approaches that a person can have. A person can look back on the previous year and said, you know, before last year, Rosh Hashanah, I made up my mind I was going to learn more Gemara than I ever learned before, and this year I did. I was going to daven with a minyan more often than I ever did before, and this year I did. I was going to give more tzedakah than I ever did, and this year I did. But that doesn't mean that I can rest on my laurels. I have to go higher. Echad la'ayla. There are some people who are very satisfied, Baruch Hashem, with everything that they did, but they realize they still have to strive higher. But echad l'chatas. But there are many people who look back and say, you know, I said I was going to do more chesed, and I really didn't. I said I was going to learn more. I said I was going to get involved in the community. I said I was going to daven better, and I didn't. So echad l'chatas. There are some people who look back at this past year, and they say, you know something? I really sinned in a way that perhaps I shouldn't have. And so therefore, this is a time of introspection. But you know, my Rav, Rav Shlomo Tanenbaum, once said something very interesting. He also mentioned this idea of Aryeh Shog, a lion that roars. Wouldn't we be afraid? So he mentioned this at Kol Nidre once. And he said, you know, this past summer I took my children to the Bronx Zoo. We were walking in the zoo and we heard a lion roar. Nobody was afraid. Nobody was running. Everyone was calm, you know, it was a day of picnicking for everyone. The lion was roaring and nobody was afraid. And he said, of course, nobody was afraid because the lion was in a cage. And if the lion is in a cage, you got nothing to worry about. He could roar all he wants. So he said something incredible. He said, if you take a look at the last tefillah in Hashanah Rabbah, that's the final tefillah, the last Yiratzin. Listen to what it says. Yiratzin, we ask Hashem, please, may it be your will. Shetosir mechitzas habarzel hamafsekes beinenu ubeinecha. Please remove that iron bar that's between you and us. In other words, if some people put kaviyochel Hashem in a cage, Hashem could roar all he wants. Nobody's going to be afraid. Just like when a lion is in a cage, nobody's afraid. So we really want it. There should be no separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There should not be that iron mechitzas habarzel hamafsekes beinenu beinecha. However, I believe that Elul is not a time for yiyush. There are some people who, when they think of Elul and they think of Rosh Hashanah, they feel it's over. I'm so bad. I can never do tshuva. I don't believe that at all. And you know why? Because Balak taught us something about the Jewish people. Balak taught us, and he said, "Hein om kelavi yokum." We are like a young lion that can get up, uchari yisnaso, and like a lion that can raise itself. So it's true, there's no question that these are days that we should be thinking how we have to improve. And Aryeh Shog, there shouldn't be any hefsik, any mechitza, any separation between us and Hashem. So we hear these days roaring to us. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. But we each must have confidence that we can answer that call. Because we are that nation, kelavi yakum, we can answer like a lion, uchari yisnaso, and we can elevate ourselves. So how are we going to change? So I want to share with you something very interesting. All of you here know that I am a Mayel, and one of the most beautiful things about being a Mayel is helping people choose a Hebrew name. Now, of course, for most of you here, obviously, either you name after a family member, and everybody here is Frum, so there's no really a problem. They don't know Jewish names. But you would be surprised. Many of the brisim that I do are for people that are not Frum. And you would not believe how many kids in Long Island are named Pesach. Really. As a matter of fact, just today, somebody called me. Husband's not Jewish. The mother's Jewish. She needs a bris, you know, for her son. And the baby's going to be Patrick. Well, what's the best name for Patrick? Pesach, right? Gotta be, right? What else could you name the baby? I mean, you could name Pinchas, but of course I'm prejudiced. So helping a person with a Jewish name is very, very significant. And I'll tell you something amazing. Why do we name a little boy at a bris? And the answer is because right before Hashem told Avram Avinu to have the bris on himself, V'lo yikari yoyde shimcha Avram. Hashem said, your name is not going to be Avram anymore. Your name is going to be Avraham. Hashem added the letter Hey. But what's and that's why, because Avraham got a new name at the bris, that's why we name a baby at the bris. But what I can't get over is right before Avraham Avinu is getting ready to do the bris, Hashem says, wait a second, I got another change. Your wife Sarai, she's also getting a new name. And her name from now on, Sarai, ki Sara Shema. Her name is going to be Soros. I was wondering, Hashem, you used the Hey Favram. Couldn't find another letter. There's 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. Well, why only Hey? Give Soros, for whatever reason you want to change Soros' name, change it, but Give her a dollar, give her a resh, I don't know, whatever you want to give. But why hay? What's so special about hay? And I thought about it, and I believe I know the answer. The Gemara Menachos tells us something fascinating. The Gemara Menachos Chof Tesam and Beis tells us, Eila Terlois HaShemayim V'Oretz Behi Borom. This is the history, quoting a Pasuk in Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Dalet, this is the history of when Hashem created the world, Behi Borom. And the Gemara says, Hashem created the world, Behei, Behei Borom. What does that mean, that Hashem created the world with a hay? So, I want to show you something. I want you to take a look at the letter Hey. It's like Sesame Street. This speech is brought to you by the letter Hey. Okay? All right? Remember that? Okay? So now, watch this. What does this mean? The world was created with the letter Hey. And you know what the Gemara says? An amazing thing. That if somebody's not careful and they're involved in immorality or materialism or secularism, and to the extreme, they can fall. They can fall to the bottom, to the end. There's no floor in the letter Hey. There's no depth that a person can't reach if they're not careful, chas v'shalom. However, a person has to know that no matter what they did in the past year, where they went, what they watched, who they hung out with, what they ate, whatever they did, this door is open for tshuva. The letter hey is the letter of tshuva, which shows us that's what it means that Hashem created the world with the letter hey. Because a person could fall no end, but he has to know, never give up. This door is always open for tshuva. Now I want to tell you something that the Tur Shulchan Aruch says, you would not believe it, you would think a Hasidish Rebbe is talking. The Tur, Aruch Hayim, and Simen Kuf Tes Vav, tells us an amazing thing. What is the bracha of tshuva in Shemon Esra? Hashivenu, right? It's the fifth bracha, number five, number hey. And you know what's incredible? Ashkenazim and Sfardim, if you daven Shemon Esra, both Siddurim are totally different. There are many, many different words in Atachoinen and Rifa'enu and Baruch Aleinu, Shemak Aleinu. The only one that's exact same, Sfar and Ashkenaz, is Hashivenu. Because when it comes to Tshuva, we're all the same. And watch this, what the Torah says. Hashivenu begins with a hey. How does it end? Baruch Atah Hashem, Horeitze, B'Tshuva. It ends with a hey. Five and five is ten. That's the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Isn't that incredible? Sounds like, you know, a Rebbe said that. But that's what the Tur Shulchan Aruch says. That's why the bracha of Hashivenu begins with a hay and ends with a hay. Now we understand. Avram had to get the hay. Sarai had to get the hay. Why? Because he was the father of all Balei Tshuva. And she was the mother of all the women who did Tshuva. So the letter that symbolized their life was the letter hay. That's why the world was created with a hay. That's why Avram had to have a hay. That's why Sarai had to have a hay. And that's why when we come in Elul, just a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we have to know that it's true. These are days of trepidation. These are days of introspection. But we have to know that no matter what happened in the past, we can always enter the world of tshuva. And that's what we're going to talk about. How do we do that? To me, and I'm sure to every yid with a heart, one of the most frightening moments of the davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is in an Asana Tekef. Which yid doesn't cry? Any serious thinking Jew. Mi yichya, mi yomos. Right? Who's going to live and who's going to die? Do I have to tell any of you? Today I went to pay a shiva call to be Menachem Oval. I mean, there are no words. What do you say to the Tefa family? To that little precious child who lost his life just a few days ago. Mi yichya, mi yomos could happen to anyone. You know, I once saw a great expression to the other guy. You're the other guy. You know, we always think these things, they never happened to us. They happened to the other guy. Well, to the other guy, you're the other guy. Anything can happen. And when you take, I always feel, the biggest musashmuz that any Rav could give right before Nasana Tekev, of course you can't do it on Rosh Hashanah because you're not allowed to talk because you can't talk because of Tkiah Shefar. But before Yom Kippur, all you got to do is read the people, the names of people who underwent unbelievable and frightening changes in life. Mi Yishoket, who's going to live in serenity? Mi Yitaref, who's going to live in distraught? Mi Yoni, who's going to be impoverished? Mi Yosha, who's going to be wealthy? Can happen to any of us. Mi Yishofel, who's going to be degraded? Mi Yorum, who will be elevated? And then we cry out three words. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Tshuva, repentance. Tefillah, prayer. Tzedakah, charity, caring for others. Mavirin, esroya hakzera, removes the evil decree. Now, I don't have to tell you, just open up any newspaper and you see the evil decrees are still with us. There's so much suffering going on, spiritually, religiously, financially, health-wise, family. We're really in a lot of problems. So obviously the Roya HaGzera has not gone yet. So we each have to improve in tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. And you know something? I always wondered, why did Chazal pick these three? Why these three? And you know what I believe? Tshuva's inward, tefillah's upward, and tzedakah's outward. Those are the three dimensions, three directions of an individual. Inward, upward, and outward. Inward is tshuva, as we'll speak. Tefillah is upward, making a connection to Hashem. And tzedakah, as we'll speak, is making a connection to our brothers and sisters in Klal Yisrael. And that's why I think Chazal chose these three, because they are dimensions that each of us have to work on. So let's talk about one element of tshuva, we'll talk about one element of tefillah, and we'll talk about one element of tzedakah. I want to share with you a story that's not easy to listen to. It's a story that happened in our neighborhood close to 20 years ago. I live in Kew Gardens, and on one Shabbos, literally the day before Shiva Asa B'Tamas that year was on a Sunday. On that Shabbos, there was a terrible fire in the neighborhood. It was in the home of the Silbergleit family. The fire broke out and raged so quickly that within moments, the grandmother of the family, Nebuch, lost her life. One of the teenage daughters lost their lives. And then there was a little girl, Masha Miriam, who was 8 years old, who was burned severely and was taken to the Cornell Burn Unit in New York. She suffered terribly. I remember I went to visit her. It was so impossible to look at that child in the condition that she was in. And then Rachmana Litzlan, on Chol HaMoed Sukkah, she passed away. Now, you can imagine a family, Rachmana Litzlan, they lost a grandmother and now a second daughter. Just terrible. On Chol HaMoed Sukkah, you're not allowed to give a hesped because it's Yontif. But believe me, when everybody was in the funeral parlor in Forest Hills and they brought in that little coffin, you didn't have to say anything. Everybody was crying. It was just horrendous for the family, for everyone. Rav Aryeh Ginsberg, many of you know him, also from this neighborhood. He has a daughter that was a friend of that little girl who had just passed away. So he got up and he said something so remarkable in the name of the Vilna Gaon that it strikes me till this day, and I think it's a very, very important hashkafa that we all have to know. The Vilna Gaon says like this, on Yom Kippur, when we daven about the Asari Haruge Malchus and part of the Musaf, Chazaras Hashatz, we tell the sad story of the 10 martyrs, the Asari Haruge Malchus. And then in very descriptive liturgy, it tells us what happened with Rabbi Shmuel. And then it tells us, Sorfei Mala Tzoku B'mora, the holy Malachim, they cried out in bitterness, and they said to Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, this is the Torah, this is the reward, this is such a big tzaddik. Hashem, how could you do this to such a big tzaddik? How could this happen? So what happens? On Sabasko M'Shamayim, a voice comes out of Shemayim and says, if I hear one more voice, I'm going to bring back the world to emptiness. So the Vilna Gaon says, what kind of answer is that? It's a legitimate question. You see a tzaddik suffering in such a terrible, cruel way? That's the reward for learning Torah, for being a good Jew? So if Hashem wants to say, listen, I got a cheshbon, or Hashem wants to say, it's not your business, fine. What kind of answer? What does this mean? I'm going to bring back the world to Toyo Vavoyo. So the Vilna Gaon gives a very interesting parable, a very interesting example, and it says like this. Imagine there was a king that wanted to have the most gorgeous suit made. Now this king lived in a community, big kingdom, and he found out that the tailor, the best tailor in the country, was a Jew, and he hated Jews. What's he going to do? He's got to get the suit done, but he hates the tailor, but he's got no choice. So he calls him in and he says, listen, I want you to make me the most gorgeous suit that everybody should say. There was never a suit made like this. And the tailor says, Your Honor, I'll be honored to do it. Just give me a certain amount of material that I need, and I'll have it. You'll have it within a month. So they measure out a certain amount of material, and he gives it to him, and he makes him the suit. 4 weeks later, he comes back with the suit. The king puts it on. Everybody is in the spoil. Everybody's amazed. The suit looks fabulous, and the king looks fabulous. So everybody's praising him, and here comes the queen. She hates Jews even more than he does. So she takes a look at her husband, and she says, you know, Your Honor, you do look great, but I want you to know the tailor's a ganav. So what do you mean the tailor's a ganav? What are you talking about? So you gave him a lot of material. So what did he do? He made you a beautiful suit, but that material's very expensive. The rest of it he kept for himself. He didn't tell you about that. He says, wow, you know, you're right. It's a beautiful suit. Where's the rest of the material? He didn't tell me anything about that. He calls in the tailor. He says, you ganav? He said, what do you mean, Your Honor? What about ganav? He says, yeah, I gave you the material. You made the suit. Where's the rest of the stuff? Where's the rest of that expensive material? He says, Your Honor, go into the other room, change into your old suit, bring me back this suit, get me a scissors, get me a table, I'm going to show you something. Okay, changes back into the suit, he brings him a table, the scissors, and the tailor starts cutting. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to show you something. And he shows him the cuffs, how they're double lined, and the pocket, how it's deep, and everything is seamless, everything is perfect, doubled and triple lined, everything is absolutely perfect. And he cuts up the whole suit, and the king goes crazy. He says, you drew this gorgeous suit. He says, measure it, you'll see. And he measures it, and all the material's exactly there. He says, but now what's with the suit? He says, hey, you're right, the suit is ruined, but at least now you understand. And he said, that's what Hashem said. What does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us at the beginning of time, the world was empty. That's what Hashem said to the Malachim. Hashem said, you guys can't ask questions. You weren't here when I first started this story. When I first started this story, I had a master plan. If you don't be quiet, I'll bring back the world. I'll destroy the world and bring it back to the beginning, and then you'll look out, and then you'll understand what I'm doing. And to understand this, the Chofetz Chaim once said something that you could almost say is adorable. We say the Pasuk three times a day in Ashrei. Shemer Hashem Eskol Yavov. Hashem protects all who he loves. He has called her Rishayim Yashmid. And all the Rishayim, the bad people he wipes out. Imagine a guy comes late to shul. This is what he hears. Eskol Yavov. He has called her Rishayim Yashmid. All who he loves and all the Rishayim he's going to wipe out. The guy says, oh God, what are you talking about? Why are you wiping out the, you know, all who you love? Excuse me, sir, you walked in late. It's like a guy walks in late to shir, right? Chaim, you never walked into my son's shir late, right? You're always on time. But imagine a guy walks in late to the shir and he asks a question. Rebbe says, what are you talking about? You weren't here at the beginning of the shir. Or what happens if a guy leaves shul early? What does he hear? Shemir Hashem is kolei avov v'yaskolei rishayim. Hashem protects all who he loves and all the rishayim. God, what are you doing? You're protecting the rishayim. Excuse me, you died early. You didn't stick around to the end of the story. So we live 70, 80 years and we're asking questions? There's a master plan. I want to tell you something very personal and very painful. Cuppy Marillas and I went through the same thing. Our fathers died when we were both very young. Cuppy, you don't know who Cuppy is, but it's his father, Benny's father, okay? Jesse, but anyway. So I was 21 when my father passed away. I remember right before he passed away, my brother and I, we were by Avshimon Schwab because my father was in the hospital in Washington Heights. So we were there for Shabbos. So after Musaf, my father and I went to visit my father. My brother and I went to visit my father, and then we come back for the Suda. And Rav Schwab says to me, how's your father? So I said, I have betochen that he'll be well. And Rav Schwab got very serious with me. And he says, betochen, faith in Hashem does not mean that your father's going to be well. Faith in Hashem means that Hashem has a master plan, and hopefully one day you'll be able to figure it out. Amen. In other words, bad things happen. How can anybody dare go to the Tepfer family and say everything is for the good? That would be vicious. Terrible things happen. It's only at the end of time, then we'll understand what Hashem's master plan is. Betochen doesn't mean that everything good happens. A person loses a spouse, Rachmana Litzlan. A person loses a house, a child, Rachmana Litzlan. There's nothing worse than that. At the end of time, we'll understand why it had to happen. But right now, betochen means that we don't lose our love for Hashem. We don't say, okay, that's it, finished. If that can happen to me, or that can happen to my friend, I'm stopping to daven. I'm not going to learn anymore. That's why we get together. We give each other chizuk. That's what betochen is. Betochen is faith in Hashem, that Hashem has a master plan, And that sometimes we have to go through a difficult time. It doesn't mean it's going to last forever. We can daven, we can give chizuk to each other, and we get out of the difficult times. Thanks. That's what betochen is all about. And that's what the tshuva that I want to talk about is all about. That we go through difficult times, but a person shouldn't be broken. I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll go to the next section. Listen to this story. There was a great tzaddik, Rav Shimon Schwab's brother. His name was Rav Mordechai Schwab. He was the mashgiach in the yeshiva Beis Raga in Muncie. So he had a Talmud. Some of you may know of this Talmud. He's on TorahAnytime.com. He has hundreds, if not thousands, of shiurim and halacha. His name is Rabbi Zev Smith. So he was a Talmud for many years of Rav Mordechai Schwab. So Rabbi Smith told me that every Chol HaMoed, he used to go with his family and he would go visit Rav Schwab in Muncie. The last Chol HaMoed, there was Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Before he went there, the Schwab family called him and said, Rabbi Smith, we know that you always come with your family, but we want you to know that your Rebbe, our father, is so ill and so frail and so thin that you'll be shocked when you see him. So we're just calling you to prepare you. You shouldn't be frightened when you see your beloved Rebbe. He thanked them very much and he told me. He said, I appreciate it, but there was no way I was going to be frightened because I know my Rebbe for years. He told me that he walked into the room and he thought he would faint. He couldn't believe it's the same person. And Rav Schwab, who was very perceptive, took a look at his Talmud and he saw his face. He obviously realized that the Talmud was just beside himself. So he said to him in Yiddish, Rav Schwab said to him in Yiddish, Ich leb besimcha, I'm living with happiness. He says, I couldn't go to Shul Yom Kippur. I couldn't daven Yom Kippur, but I didn't make myself sick. Hashem made me sick. And if Hashem made me sick, then I'm living chayim b'tzoynai. Listen to how he taiched then that pasuk. That pasuk, ki rega ba'apai chayim b'tzoynai. He had an original way of taiching it. Chayim b'tzoynai, I'm living with God's will. He said, I can't learn anymore because I get headaches. You think I gave myself the headaches? I think Hashem gave it to me. So if he gave me the headaches and I can't learn, I'm living the way he wants me to live. Chayim b'tzoynai. So I'm not broken, because this is what God wants from me at this moment. And that's part of the tshuva. When we go through a difficult time, we have to know that Hashem is testing us. I'll tell you something, you can't believe Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said this. But Rav Shach's son-in-law wrote it in the Sefer L'Shichnei Sidra Shu. It's amazing. And he said like this, Shimush Shel Torah rather, in the Sefer Shimush Shel Torah. There was a fellow in Brisk that was very wealthy and he lost his money. So people went to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and said, Rebbe, how could this guy lose his money? He gave tzedakah, he was machnas oirach. How could that happen? And you know what Rav Chaim answered? You wouldn't believe. He said, life is a university. You have to go through certain courses. He says, a father sends a child to college and the kid passes the course. It's a very difficult course. But now that he passed it, he's got to go to the next course. This man passed the course of wealth. Now Hashem is testing him in the course of poverty. Doesn't mean Hashem is angry at him. Just like somebody gets an A in one course, but the course, the semester is always got to go to the next course. That's what life is. We're being tested every day. So sometimes you're being tested with wealth. Let's see what you do with your money. And sometimes a person is being tested in poverty. And it could be poverty in nachas sometimes. And sometimes it's wealth in nachas. So that's the tshuva aspect. The tshuva aspect is to know that Hashem loves us, Hashem has a master plan, and that we're all in it together to give chizuk to each other in the difficult times, but not that we should lose our faith in Hashem even in difficult times. That's the element of tshuva. I want to talk now about the Indian of tefillah. The Gemara tells us an amazing thing. The Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach. However, when the Malachim came to Hashem and said, how could you make Chizkiah Mashiach? Because after all, he had so many wonderful opportunities to praise because he won so many battles. And yet, he didn't say praise to Hashem the way he was supposed to. David HaMelech gave so much praise, and he's not Mashiach, so how could you make Chizkiah Mashiach? That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. So we see a great thing here. We see if we want Mashiach, we have to have a Hakaras HaTov. We have to say thank you. One of my favorite stories about saying thank you is about this cute little kid who comes in to a fruit store, and the guy behind the counter gives him a banana. So the mother says, what two words do you say to the nice man behind the counter? Little boy says, peel it. Of course, the kid never heard thank you in his life. In other words, one of the things that I think that we have to accentuate this year is saying thank you. Each one of us has so much to be grateful for. Every one of us here is challenged. There's no question. That's what Gullus is all about. But if a person has children that are married and his children have children, he's a millionaire. Anybody here who has children and all his children are married and they have children should be dancing in the street if you're not embarrassed. And if you're embarrassed, dance at home. If you have a job, you should be grateful. If you have a spouse that you like, you should be grateful. Okay, we know that there's some spouses that are not, but I'll be right, right? And if you have kids, if you have children, and you're getting along with them, and they're not hanging from the ceilings most of the time, so much to be grateful for. Look at this community. What community? You tell me. Can you have three different shuls? All the rabbonim get along with each other. All the balabatim can mix and get along with each other. It's beautiful. Do you ever stop and say, thanks, Hashem? I live in Woodmere, North Woodmere, right? North Woodmere, let's underline that, right? Okay? Something to be grateful for. When Chaim called me and said, I asked him, where do you daven, Rabbi Witkin? Where are you having it in Young Israel of North Woodmere? I said, didn't you tell me down by Rabbi Witkin? No, we're all together. So it makes no difference, it's beautiful. That's something to be grateful for, not to take for granted. How many neighborhoods are there that can say this? That everybody gets along so beautifully. So anything that a person has, I want to tell you a beautiful story that I heard from the fellow himself. His name is Hananya Chalak, or in Eretz Yisrael they call him Chalak. He's the head of an organization called Eze Mitzion. Eze Mitzion is one of the greatest medical organizations in Klal Yisrael, and they have the biggest bone marrow directory of Jews throughout the world, and they help people with medication and with information about doctors. It is absolutely an incredible source for medical help. So Hananya tells me that there was a fellow from Europe calls him up a couple years ago and says, Hananya, I've heard about Eze Mitzion. I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael. I want to give you a nice donation. Where can we meet? He says, we'll meet in the Yerushalayim office. They meet one evening in the Yerushalayim office in Eze Mitzion, and then afterwards they're talking, so Hananya says, you know, you don't cut to Eretz Yisrael that often. Let's go daven Ma'ariv at the Kaisel. Such a beautiful thing. I was just in Eretz Yisrael. I'm telling you, to go at night to the Kaisel, there's nothing like it. Fine. They go to the Kaisel, you know, at night in the plaza. It's all yellow. It's so beautiful, bathed in all that gorgeous light. And as they're walking, they see a guy ahead of them, about 20, 30 feet ahead of them against the wall itself. And his hands are raised and he's crying. They can't make out what he's saying. But obviously, the world is coming to an end, and he's crying and crying and davening, and they are just standing there watching him. They just cannot believe this. So finally, they're so taken by this guy's tefillos that Hananya says to this wealthy man, he says, what do you say? We got to help him, right? He says, you're right. So Hananya says, listen, I'm going to ask him if he needs any medical help, and if he needs, I'll take care of it, and if he needs finances, you ready to help him? Whatever you say, Hananya. They wait till the guy finishes. They go over to him. They say, Rabbi Yid, good evening. How you doing? He said, Baruch Hashem, everything's great. He said, no, come on, really. You know, how's life? No, everything's wonderful. He said, look, you don't know who I am. My name's Hananya Chalak. I run Eze Mitzion. If there's any medical situation in your family, I'm ready to help you. And if it's financial problem that you have, my friend here is ready to help you. He says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Everything's wonderful. So wonderful. You've been davening as if the world's coming to an end. What are you talking about? So he says, you don't understand. Last night, my wife and I, we married off our youngest child. And tonight, I came to say thank you to Hashem. That's how a person davens. That's how a person davens to say thank you. You know, there's such a fascinating Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yotes Amud Beis. I think every parent should learn this with their children, because it's so instructional, it's amazing. The Gemara says, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Yisuda LaTzadikim. At the end of life, Hashem is going to make a party for all the tzadikim. He's going to invite all the tzadikim of the generations. So who's going to bench at that suda, right? So Hashem says, Avraham Avinu, you bench. Avraham's going to say, no, I cannot be. I can't bench. I had a son like Ishmael. In front of all the tzaddikim, I had a son like Ishmael. I can't bench. Okay, Yitzchok, you bench. No, Yitzchok says, hey, my father can't bench because he had Ishmael. I had Esav. I can't bench. All right, Yaakov, Mitosai Shlomo, all your kids were tzaddikim, you bench. No, he says, I can't bench. Why not? He said, because I did something that's awesome in HaTorah. Except when I did it, it was mutter because it was before Kabbalah's HaTorah. But before HaSinai, you're not going to marry two sisters that are alive. You can't have two sisters at the same time as wives. I had Rachel and Leah. So I can't do that. So I can't bench. I really, in a sense, I violated the Torah. So not Avraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Okay, Moshe, you bench. To me, this is the saddest of all. Moshe says he can't bench because he was never in Eretz Yisrael. How many times have so many of us been in Eretz Yisrael? Some of us more than 10 times. I'll never forget once Hashanah Rabbah. You know Hashanah Rabbah in the morning, 10,000 people at the Kaisel. So I came the night before because I wanted to get a seat by the Kaisel, right? So I had my seat right up, you know, against the wall. At night, I was there all night. You're supposed to say Dvara Mishnah Torah. I had my art scroll Chumash, so I'm going to know every word, you know, and understand every Pasuk. I come to Parshas Veschanan. Parshas Veschanan is where Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading, please, Hashem, let me come to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says no. And I'm thinking, who am I? I'm sitting here. It's not my first time in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sitting here at the most glorious time in the world to be Hashanah Rab at the Kaisel. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that opportunity. I tell you the truth, I started crying for Moshe Rabbeinu. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop crying. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu. I could do something that he couldn't do. How could that be? But that was the will of Hashem. Okay, so Moshe can't do it. Who's going to? Yeshua, right? You took the people into Eretz Yisrael. So you for sure can bend. No. The first mitzvah in the Torah I didn't fulfill. The first mitzvah in the Torah, you're supposed to have children, boys and girls. I only had girls. It's not my fault, but I didn't fulfill the first. So, okay, not Avraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not Moshe, not Yeshua. Who? David HaMelech says, I can bench. David HaMelech, I was thinking, what are you talking about? David HaMelech had so much blood on his hands that Hashem said, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. It'll call Beis David because you raised the money for it. But Shlomo has to build it. And besides, he had three sons that were Rishoyim. Amnon, Avshalom, Adonijo, two of them tried to kill him. What are you talking about? But you know what I believe the answer is? Listen what David HaMelech said. Tzora v'yoga in emtza uv'shem Hashem ekra. When I had tzoras, I called out to Hashem. But you know what he also said? Kois Yeshua is Esa. When I had the salvation, when I got the job, and I got the shidduch, and I got the house, and I had the child, and I had the grandchild, I davened the same way, the way I davened when things are bad. When things are bad, we're all in shul, we're all crying, we're all davening, we're going to the kaisel, we're getting kvitbach, we're going to the rabbanim, everything. But what happens when things are good? Do we daven with the same intensity? David HaMelech says, Tzorah v'yogen emtza, uv'shem Hashem ekra. And he also says, Kois Yeshua is Esa, uv'shem Hashem ekra. You know what David HaMelech said? Something that we all sing. Pischuli sharei tzedek. Open up for me the gates of righteousness. Oh my God, what am I going to do when I come to shul? You know what he says? Oideko. I'm going to say thank you. That's the tshuva that we have to do this year on tefillah. Of course you have to daven. There's no question you have to daven for parnasa and for health and for children, all the things. But Moedim this year should take longer. By the time we get to Moedim, we're finished. Because after all, God, I asked you for everything I need. Thank you. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. But that's not the way. Moedim, piskuli, shari, tzedek, obayvom, oideko. That's what we have to, you know, a woman called me recently. Won't believe it. Woman calls me. And she says to me, Rabbi Krohn, could you please give me chizuk? And I'm thinking, what am I, instant coffee? Like, you know, like, I don't even know. But okay, fine. So I said, like, well, you know, what's the problem? My husband's not well. I don't have a job. You know, my kids need shidduchim. You know, like, so what else is new? Okay, but okay, fine. So, you know, but I had to talk to her, right? So I said to her, you know, after I listened to her, and I said, listen, I want to give you homework. I want you to take an index card. And I want you to write down all the good things that you have in life. I realize that you have problems. But write down the good things. You have healthy children? Yes. Your husband has a job? Yes. Okay? Different things. You own the house? You paid the mortgage? Yes. Write it down. Keep it in your sitter. Right before you're about to say Moedim, read all those things. You'll be a different person. Now, it worked, I know, for 6 weeks. I don't know what happened after 6 weeks. I have to give her other homework. But the idea is, why shouldn't we do that? Before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we're crying, we're asking for everything. Well, let's remember, we're all here to talk about it. Baruch Hashem, that's part of Moedim, that's part of saying thank you. And that's what I believe the essence of what Tefillah is all about. So we've spoken about Tshuva, which is inward. We spoke about Tefillah, which is upward. And now let's talk about Tzedakah, which is outward. What I believe Tzedakah is all about is stopping to think about yourself only. There's nothing wrong with asking for yourself, but we have to begin thinking about others. I want to tell you a story. What does it mean to think about others? I don't know if you will know these names, but these are two very, very great people. And I was just in Eretz Yisrael. I took my children just to see this because you just can't believe it. Many of you know the name of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was one of the Gedolei Olam in the 1930s. And we all know that Nebuchadnezzar was killed. He was kidnapped in Kovna. On one of the trips that we took to Lithuania, we went to the house, literally in the house where he was kidnapped from. And it was the Lithuanians, not the Germans, who killed him. They killed him in Kovna. He had a son, Rav Simcha Wasserman. Rav Simcha was the most delightful person that you could imagine. Rav Simcha, Rachmona Litzlan, had no children. He came to America, obviously saddened by what happened to his father. Eventually, he went out to Los Angeles. He tried to build a yeshiva there. It wasn't so successful. And eventually, he came to Eretz Yisrael. And together with a dear close friend of mine, Rav Moshe Chodesh, they put together a yeshiva called Or HaChanan after Rav Chanan Wasserman. And he lived the rest of his years. He lived his years in Matzdorf in Yerushalayim. I remember when he was ill and he was in New York, he was staying in Kew Gardens by the Rowe family. So I used to go visit him to listen to him, to hear stories, to hear pshatim and divrei Torah. He once told me that ever since he was a little boy, when he realized what the name Simcha means, happiness, he decided he will always be happy no matter what Hashem dishes out for him. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, and one of the people that he met in Eretz Yisrael was a great man. His name was Rabbi Shlomo Lawrence. Some of you who know Israeli politics know that he was a Chavar HaKnesset. He was a Leiv Toiv Ad Miyoid, would do favors for anyone. And he also lived in Matzdorf. And these two people, they learned together. They had a Seder and learning. I remember many times I would come to Matzdorf. I would see them at night. They were both learned together. When Rab Simcha died, Rab Simcha, without children, died the second day of Cheshvan. So shortly after that, Rav Shlomo Lawrence said to his family, because Rav Simcha was buried in Har HaMenuchos, so Rav Shlomo Lawrence said to his family, I now want to sell my plot. I'm not going to be buried in Har HaZeisim, even though we have a family plot there. I want to be buried next to Rav Simcha in Har HaMenuchos. So the family said, how could you do that? The whole family is in Har HaZeisim. Why would you want to go to Har HaMenuchos? Listen what he said. He said, who goes to visit the kever of someone who passed away? Children, grandchildren. Rav Simcha has no children, no grandchildren. So I want that I should be buried next to him, so at least when my kids come, they'll know that I was this chavrusa, so they'll have it by him also. I'll be right next to him. And nothing that the family could tell him would let him change his mind. 17 years later, 17, B'gematria Toiv, 17 years later, Shlomo Lawrence was nifter, you know what day? Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Rosh Chodesh, you don't go to the Beis Eilam, because it's like a Yontif. So when do you go? Beis Cheshvan. So Shlomo Lawrence's kids go on Beis Cheshvan, the Yortzeit of Rav Simcha. And when I was now in Eretz Yisrael, I took my kids, I showed them, look, take a look here. You see Rav Simcha? Right over here, Shlomo Lawrence. Right over here, Beis Cheshvan. He's Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Now I want to tell you something that you mamash have to fasten your seatbelts. You won't believe it. I knew Rebbetzin Feige Wasserman. She was so close to her husband. They had such an incredible marriage. You know what she once said? She said, I hope that we both live forever. But if we have to die, she said, I hope that I die first. Because I can't live one day without my Rav Simcha. Then as she got older, she said to my dear friend, Rav Moshe Chodesh, I've changed my mind. I hope that we both live forever. Till Mashiach. But in case we can't, I hope that he dies first. Because I'm the only one that could sit Shiva for him. I'm the only one who could give him his Kavod Achron. And you know something? You would not believe it. Rab Simcha was Nifter Beis Cheshvin. She sat Shiva 7 days, and 3 days later she died. I showed it to my children. I showed it to my children. Take a look. Here is Rab Simcha, here's Rab Tzvega, and right over there is Rab Shlomo Lawrence. That's called thinking about other people. You're not thinking about yourself. Shlomo Lawrence, who was a giant in Eretz Yisrael, could have been buried any place with the greatest glory. No, I'm going next to Rab Simcha for his sake. Rab Tzvega, what's she thinking? Not about herself. She's thinking, I want to give the covered achrin to my husband. So I want to tell you now an elevating story, and then I'm going to tell you about a great innovation that we are going to institute tonight in front of not only the crowd that's here, in front of thousands and thousands of people throughout the world. But listen to this great story. What does it mean, thinking about other people? In Eretz Yisrael today, there's a wonderful organization called Yad Eliezer. And they give tremendous amount of tzedakah. For Pesach alone, they give out over $1 million. So somebody by the name of Mr. Wolf donated a building where they have two wedding halls, Ulam Aleph and Ulam Beis, in the same building. Ulam Aleph is a little nicer and a little bigger. So everybody always wants Ulam Aleph. So the caterer told me a couple years ago, he gets a call from the Goldberg family, and the Goldberg family, and they want to have Ulam Aleph. He says, you gotta come right away, because every night we make two weddings, and whoever signs first, they're gonna have it. Fine, the guy signs, it's theirs. 3 weeks later, the Silverberg family calls. They also want Ulam Aleph. I'm sorry, we already gave it to Ulam, you know, to the Goldberg family. But we have people coming from America. We have so many. I'm sorry, do it on another night. They said they couldn't, so they signed for Ulam Beis. A few weeks later, the Silverberg caller calls the Goldberg caller, and she says, listen, I know you guys signed first, so really, Ulam Aleph is yours. But we have so many people coming from America, and we have such a large family in Israel. Is there any way that you would switch with us? She says, listen, I can't do that on my own. I got to ask my parents. She goes back to her parents, and the Goldberg parents say, it's ridiculous. Of course not. You know, we signed for that reason because, you know, we knew that everybody wants Ulam Aleph, so we can't give it over. Fine. Months go by, the invitations are out. Now it's Parshas Vayetze, 2 years ago. Parshas Vayetze, and the Goldberg caller's in shul, and she's listening to Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah Vayetze tells us the whole story with Rachel and Leah. Lavan wanted that Yaakov should really marry Leah, and he had a whole plan, and Rachel knew that her sister would be embarrassed. So this caller knew the whole story, right? That how Rachel gave over the simonim. She hears this, and she's thinking about what she learned in school. She decides, I gotta be like Rachel. I gotta give in. The whole world goes to Kever Rachel. You ever hear anybody go to Kever Leah? Every once in a while, right? Once a year, you hear somebody went to Marasa Machpelah to daven by Kever Leah. Kever Rachel, right? Even I myself, the last week was in Kever Rachel. It's the Mama Rachel. I want to be like Rachel, she says. She tells her parents, she comes home after shul, I'm calling them. So the father says, but the wedding will be much more tight. There'll be no dancing space. Won't be so convenient. I don't care. I want to be like the Mama Rachel. Fine. She calls up the Silverberg Kala Matzah Shabbos. She says, I changed my mind. You guys can have it. It's no problem. You guys will have Ulam Aleph. We, the Goldbergs, will be in Ulam Beis. Listen to this. You won't believe it. The caterer told me the wedding was on a Tuesday night when it's 1 o'clock in New York at 7 o'clock in Israel. He gets a call from somebody in New York. He says, listen, my wife and I were about to marry off our daughter tonight. We're going now for pictures. And we just had this idea. We want to pay for a wedding in Eretz Yisrael as gratitude to Hashem. Now we know you have two halls, Ulam Aleph and Ulam Beis. And Ulam Beis is more modest. So the people that are in Ulam Beis tonight, they probably need the money more than the people in Ulam Aleph. So we want to pay for the entire wedding in Ulam Beis. And that's what they paid. So the Goldberg caller, she got everything paid for. The photographer, the music, the food, flowers, everything. Why? Because Hashem said, oh, my daughter, you're thinking about other people. I'm going to think about you. So let me tell you, those of you who came a little early, you all got three cards. Three pink cards, three blue cards, everybody will get. Let me tell you what this is all about. And today I had a bris in Woodmere, and this lady was living right across the street. And I explained it to her, I'm going to explain to all of you. I believe, as all of you believe, that one of the biggest problems that we have today in Klal Yisrael is the problem of Shidduchim. And do you know, this is a fact, 70% of Shidduchim that are read are by people like us, not by professionals. 70% of Shidduchim that happen because we read to friends, to relatives, or whatever. We heard somebody, we met somebody, or whatever. And I think that we all, as part of tztaka, the tshuva tefila tztaka, thinking about other people, we got to get involved in shidduchim. How are we going to do it? So I want to institute a new thing in Klal Yisrael, and that is, at every chasana, there's downtime. I want to call it now match time. When is that? After the chasana and kala go to the yichud room, everybody's hanging around until they finish all the pictures, and then they come back. So everybody's sitting around the table, right? So I want that all caterers and all people should have cards, blue cards for the young men that are available, or the singles of whatever age, and same thing for the girls. And everybody fill out the names and all the information that you'll see on here. And at that time, that should be the time when Klal Yisrael talks about Shidduchim. At the table, when you finally sit down, and you're waiting until the chasen kala comes down and all the dancing starts, and then of course there's too much noise and you can't get involved with it, but there's at least 20 minutes or a half hour. And let's make that a time when we match Shidduchim. And I met a woman, she just called me yesterday, just happens to be, because she heard me say this on a DVD. Her name is Henya Storch, she lives around here, she's involved in projects. And we came up with some great lines, because we're gonna make a box where you'll put these in, and we'll call it a matchbox, right? And just like everybody in their house has a tztaka box, we would like from now on, everybody should have a matchbox. And there's no reason why you can't. Every one of us knows 10 single men, 10 single women. I'm not, even if they're divorced, it makes no difference, but they're single, they're looking for shidduchim. Write it down. And if you keep it with you, then you'll think about it. You know why we don't read shidduchim? We're not bad people, we're busy people. And if we're so busy, we don't think about it. There's no reason why we shouldn't be reading shidduchim. It's true, it's time consuming. But when you're looking for your spouse, right, you wanted people to help you. And don't ever tell somebody that's looking you too picky. Because I know some of you, maybe you should have been a little bit more picky, right? So, you know, don't blame anybody. You know, everybody's got a right to choose who they want to choose, when they want to choose them. And you know something? I'm sure that you know this by now. That I started a whole thing and that it's changing. The whole attitude is changing. There's no reason in the world that a guy shouldn't go out with a girl that's older than him. I remember when I went to Frankfurt and I showed everybody on the tour, look, Rav Shamsher von Hirsch married a girl who was 4 years older than him. So people said to him, how could you do that? You married a girl that's 4 years older than you? So he said, for who? What I have to accomplish in life, I can't marry a child. So it started a whole revolution. You wouldn't believe it. I was at a Torah Masorah convention, and I said this thing, and a lady calls me up after what she says, Rabbi Krohn, I was never at a Torah Masorah convention. This year, for whatever reason, I decided to go, and my son, who's 24, is supposed to go out with a girl 26. I wasn't going to let him go out, but I heard you speak, and I found out that this girl is a direct descendant of Rav Shamsher von Hirsch. So I said to my son, it's impossible. God did not orchestrate that I should hit his drasha, and you should go out with his daughter. Go out. And wouldn't you know, they got engaged, and they got married, and they had a little boy, and I did the bris, and what did they name the baby? Shamsher Mafal. And you will never believe this. 2 years later, they had another boy, right? Yekis are exact, right? Exactly. So listen to this. The second kid was born on Rav Shamsher Mafal Hirsch's yard site. So let me tell you a story about the yard site. You're not going to believe this. You know, Rav Shamsher Mafal Hirsch always used to say that a person has to be an Adam Kosher and an Adam Yosher. Adam Kosher, you know, Ben Adam Machaber, you also got to be, you know, exact. And the Yekis, you know, are very, very exact, very honest, very straight. So before he passed away in his final illness, Rav Shamsher von Hirsch called in the members of his family and he said, I want you to tell the community, in case he was paid quarterly. He said, in case I die in the middle of the quarter, you should prorate my salary, and that's the only salary that I should get. Because after all, you know, if he didn't make it to the end of the quarter, he doesn't deserve to get paid. You know when he died? December 31st. Only a Yeki could do that. Imagine that, he died the last day of the quarter. But that's getting off the topic. But the idea is, I want all of you to take these cards. Let's fill them out. If you want more cards, you have my permission to reprint them. Henya Storch is gonna get involved in this project, and we're gonna try as much as possible to institute a new thing in Klal Yisrael. And that'll be our tshuva in the tztaka aspect, the tshuva, tshila, tztaka, thinking about other people, not only about ourselves, getting involved in shidduchim, and you'll see. You know what the Gemara says? That Mashiach cannot come until shetichla neshamayis shebaguf. There's a vestibule, a chamber, that Hashem has in Shemayim. All the neshamas are there. It's only when those kids get born. How's it going to happen? Through Shidduchim. We want Mashiach to come. We got to be Makir Toiv. We have to do all the things that we spoke about. So I just want to end with this. We'll review quickly, end with a great story. Let's remember. Aryeh Shog, it's true, a lion can roar. Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashanah Rabbah. But we can roar back. Kain Om, Kelavi, Yakum, Chariyas, Nasa. The person shouldn't be afraid. We can answer that call. Avram got a hay. Sarah got a hay. The world is created with a hay. A person could fall to the lowest depths. But the door is always open for tshuva. A person should never be despondent, no matter where he was or what she did or whatever. You can always come back. That's what this door is open for tshuva. That's why Avram had to have the hay. And Sarah had to have the hay. How are we going to do a tshuva tefillah and stuff? A tshuva means never being upset, no matter what situation you find yourself in. It's only a test. It doesn't have to last forever. But we give each other chizuk. Betochen doesn't mean that everything happens good. Difficult things happen, but we have faith that God has a plan. Tefillah, let's accentuate the idea of moedim, saying thank you. Let's look around at all the good that we have in life. Of course we have difficult times. That's what gullus is all about. We're all challenged. And finally, tztaka, thinking about other people. Thinking, shidduchim, making sure that we're not only thinking about ourselves, but just like that Goldberg Kala thought about the others and Hashem took care of her, that's how it's going to happen when we think about others as well. Just want to end with this great story. A couple years ago in Brooklyn, there was a young guy, he's 47 years old. He passed away, never had a heart attack. He was working for Kedem Wine. His name is Yossi Pressburger. So, being that my father passed away when I was 21, so many times people call me, I should come to speak to children who have just lost a parent. So I was there, and then I went in to speak to Mrs. Pressburger. She was sitting at a small kitchen and very, very crowded there. So I was there just for a few moments, and he said whatever I had to say, and I left. 2 weeks later, a lady calls me up. She says, Rabbi Cron, you know, I saw you in the kitchen there. I just want to tell you what happened shortly after you left. She said, I didn't know Mrs. Pressburger. I knew Yossi's sisters. So I came to be Menachem Avil, the sisters who were also in that small kitchen, because I'm from Baltimore and these girls are from Baltimore, you know, the married women. So I said to my friends, and I said to Mrs. Pressburger, tell me something about your husband, just so that I should know when I leave who he was. So she said, my husband always did a chesed right away. If somebody needed a favor, he never said, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get somebody else to do it. If something had to be done, he did it right away. She said, thank you very much. She said, I'm okay, Menachem, and she left. This woman who called me, told me, I drove three blocks, East 19th and Avenue N, on the corner of Kamenetz Yeshiva. She said, it had just been a snowstorm. There was only one line of traffic. I was at a red light, and I take a look, and I see a woman sleeping in the car. And I kind of thought, I look at my clock, it's 3:00, she's probably gonna pick up her son from yeshiva. She said, I just had this woman's intuition, there's something wrong with that woman. The way her head was leaning back, the way she was sleeping, I had this feeling. And I just heard Yossi would always do a chesed. So I decided, you know what, I'm gonna call Hatzalah, I'll apologize, but I just have to call Hatzalah. She calls Hatzalah, she says, please forgive me. There's a lady sleeping on East 19th and Avenue N. I'm sure that she's okay, but there's something that tells me that maybe there's something wrong. Please forgive me. Please check it out. She said to me, the Hatzolah guy got so angry. He said, never, ever apologize to a Hatzolah guy. That's what we're here for. We're here for to protect maybe even the potential victim. Never apologize. We are here to serve Klal Yisrael, whatever you need. Fine. She told me she drove off. 20 minutes later, she gets a call. Are you the lady who called Hatzolah about that woman sleeping on East 19th and N? She said, yeah. She said, you saved her life. What are you talking about? She was in diabetic shock. She had hypoglycemia. If she would have been there another 20 minutes, she would have died. She just walked out of Yossi's house and just heard that you do a chesed right away. But the story's not over. 3 months later, she's screaming. She's on the phone. Rabbi Krohn, you will not believe this. I just got a call from the mother of that woman who was sleeping in the car. She was pregnant. Today she had a little girl. And the grandmother says, you didn't save one life, you saved two lives. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We have to make a commitment to tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. And we have to walk through Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashanah Rabbah with confidence. Not to be broken. Hashem doesn't want us to be broken. Hashem wants us to walk through that door of tshuva, so that it'll be Mavir Nasrei Agzeira, let's talk shidduchim. We'll bring more children into Klal Yisrael. Be more business for Moilim. But besides that, and then Mashiach will be able to come. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. Shalom. Have a good year and a good bench to go. And by the way, anybody who didn't get the cards, please come up. You can all get them. I gave you the cards today. You got them? No.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.